Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Martin Moore.
I've been through the year 3000, and not much has changed, but they lived underwater.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Hope your Thursday is off to a wonderful start. Commerce, community, the future, and more. That's what we do on Thursdays. Martin Moore from Cost, content creator, technology expert, joins us. Running a little late, so he's on his way in. We got a lot to cover today. We're going to look at the future of the United States Postal Service. We'll look at the future of Chipotle. You probably don't want to... Don't believe what you saw online yesterday. I'll just say that. Future of sports drinks. We're going to talk a little bit about age gating for social media. Amazon's new AI integration, not only for shopping, but on the medical and health side too, how those two can come together. And then, really excited, this future of personality-driven sporting events. Live appearances from players. So much happening in this space, especially right here in Milwaukee. This Saturday's Thanalysis Live event at Pottawatomie Casino and Hotel. The executive producer of the show, Tony Cartagena, will join us in studio. Got some great insights as to kind of the surprises that were pulled off in this first event last time and what to expect this Saturday for the big event. First off, this morning, I took time out of my day to exercise my civic duty. I voted at the Village Hall in Shorewood. And looking at the numbers quickly, about 408,000 people have already cast their ballots ahead of next week's election. Includes, of course, the high-profile Wisconsin Supreme Court race. The last possible day for voters to request an absentee ballot is today at 5 p.m. Keep that in mind. It's recommended that you got to do that in order to get the mail back that deadline, that ballot. Other options, you can stop in at your clerk through today as well. You can always check myvote.wi.gov for all the details. It was really easy. I had maybe four or five people in front of me in line. Had a good conversation with a neighbor. It was great to get the voting out of the way. Get done and get on with my day. Highly, highly recommended. As we do each and every morning, I got two things in the business world that I'm seeing that you need to know about right now. So let's go to up.
Now it's time for the
two, count 'em, two.
Two up on the upswing.
We're going to look kind of a national lens for two up this morning. I saw this on Bloomberg.com yesterday that Senator Elizabeth Warren has warned that Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell could be fired by President Trump. Now, of course, there's some political positioning here, but she sees this as a purge that could really disrupt the U.S. markets. Massachusetts Democrat has called and talked a lot about the expansive authority of Trump to be able to claim that, hey, he can oust officials at independent agencies means, according to Senator Warren, that nobody is safe, not even the chairman of the Federal Reserve. If he can just mow through every civil servant, he can just mow through the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. It's a form of lawlessness, and all the power belongs to the king, Warren said in an interview Wednesday on Bloomberg Television. She contends that many of the president's actions are illegal, but she's keeping her eye on the Fed chair, and there'll be some interesting this and that's on the federal side for sure between the president and Fed chair Powell. Next up, Walmart is skipping the eggs this Easter. Hear about this? Walmart does these Easter meal offers each year. The U.S. retail giant said yesterday that in midst of continuing shortages on the egg side, that their 2025 promotion for the Easter meal kit is only going to have 9 ingredients. It's going to have ham, potatoes, corn on the cob, a cream cake. It's going to serve 8 people for less than $6 per person. an average price which is actually lower than it was offered last year. Notably absent in the kits this year are going to be eggs, which were a key part of last year's offering. The promotional image showed a box with 18 large brown eggs and 14 other items, but no eggs included. The kits served up about 10 people last year. The average cost was less than $8 per person. No eggs in that meal kit this year if you're buying those in advance for Easter at Walmart. Coming up next, I find it amazing still that you can walk into your local post office and say, all right, I want this letter to go from wherever you are in Wisconsin today across the country for 73 cents. But what's the future of the United States Postal Service? We'll discuss this and much more. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. So what's the future of the United States Postal Service? Siding Unlimited, WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. I said before the break, I still find it amazing that I can walk into my local post office and mail a letter across the country for 73 cents. Yeah, that's still the price of those first class mail forever stamps, 73 cents, 1 ounce price. Never going to expire. That first class postage rate will stay the same if you have those forever stamps forever. But you got to wonder, what is the future of the post office long term? So after he was appointed by President Trump in 2020, America's 75th Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, declared his immediate resignation from the top role at USPS on Monday. He announced his retirement last month, so, and kind of coincided, if you follow the news here, coincided with Trump's thinking that, maybe it's time to privatize the post office. And you look at the data around U.S. mail, right? Mail's fallen out of flavor, for sure, and favor. The volume of mail handled by the USPS is half of what it was in 2008. It's become more and more dependent on the lucrative packaging business. Packages now account for 40% of the revenue last year, despite making up only 6% of total volumes at the post office. So as the post office tries to gain ground on UPS, on FedEx, on Amazon, you look at those numbers and it's staggering. Just Amazon alone, it's 9 billion parcels. So it's going to be tricky for the United States Postal Service to compete on a big scale. But is privatizing the post office the way to go? And does that change its role in society too much? I mean, that's my main concern as, you know, civic evangelist. Like, there is a point to the Postal Service that enables all of us to have access and all zip codes to have access to get mail and packages delivered. Martin Moore, how do you use the United States Postal Service?
I don't.
You don't? So, wow, he's taking the other side.
And then the random phone book that you get every year that you never use.
Yes.
I honestly think, I've thought this for a while, I think the Postal Service will be bought up by, like, Amazon or FedEx or UPS. I just don't, at least for me, I don't get a ton of like mail. So I just don't really see how they stay afloat, especially with all the competition that's out there.
Yeah. I mean, but you look at the kind of the core tenets of the Postal Service. It is to provide the greater good, to make sure that all states, all regions, all cities have access, equal access to Postal Service. So yes, it's a business, and I think the current Postmaster General has really ran it as such, but there's going to be more and more pressure to privatize a portion of it. And how could we get there? Is it an all-or-nothing scenario? Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I kind of do think that. You know, they really got hit hard when Amazon started delivering their own stuff. and didn't rely on the Postal Service for smaller packages and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that you can really privatize part of it. I think it's either, like you said, one or the other. It's very binary.
Yeah. It's going to be a great debate for sure, and it's coming very soon.
Something's going to have to be done because, as far as I know, they're not really making a whole lot of money.
Yes, yes. And then, you know, the counter argument there is yesterday, I saw this posted by several people. You look at the role of the economy, it is a creative blend between for-profit businesses, nonprofit businesses, and government. And sure, they all have to work together, so it shouldn't be an either-or scenario. There are creative public-private partnerships that can power the economy forward. I think we're going to find something in the middle ground as we look to what's next with the United States Postal Service. But you know what? It's going to be up to the next postal general and probably President Trump's team and maybe Elon to figure it all out.
Elon's going to dip his toes in that.
Yes, indeed. All right, when we come back, you saw yesterday all over that Amazon is testing shopping and health assistance as it pushes deeper into generative AI. Martin's an expert in this space. There's a lot going on when you look at how do you integrate shopping and health and what Amazon wants to do with the data. We're going to dive into that and much more. This is The Upswing. You are listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. It's the future of almost everything. Martin Moore. I'm Jeff Sherman. Let's dive into Amazon and social media a little bit in this segment. So, Martin, Amazon continues to test more and more generative AI for shopping and health assistance as it pushes deeper and deeper into the space. It's kind of rebuilding and refining and redefining what search is on the platform, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it wants to know your interests. It wants to know you even better. So its new AI-powered shopping assistant proactively identifies products based upon user input while also testing a health chatbot that answers medical questions. They want consumers to communicate through search and the chatbot using everyday language. The shopping feature is called Interest AI, and it's going to prompt consumers to describe what they're looking for, and then we'll continually scan for relevant items. It's become a major, major area of investment for Amazon. How do you think they bring together shopping and health through AI chatbots?
On the shopping side, I think what AI is going to do for search is just really expedite the search and shopping process. So, example, right now, you know, we're remodeling our kitchen and our basement, and like I need this very specific sized like shoe bench. It's like a bench. I want it to be white with like a gray cushion top,
mm-hmm,
and doors that you open that you can hide shoes in. And it's been I've been looking for like days trying to find one. And I think what AI will do is just make that experience much, much easier to sort of find what you're looking for. And then on top of that, recommend things for you. So for example, like let's say you're shopping for food and you have like a calorie budget. It can recommend foods that sort of fit into your daily or weekly calorie budget. It can know better. You know how like on Amazon you can set up like a monthly subscription for diapers,
yep,
or dog food or,
mm-hmm,
paper towel, whatever. It can get smarter and learn your habits and learn that, okay, you need toilet paper every 3 weeks instead of every month, or you need cat food or cat treats every 6.5 weeks versus every month. And so I think those sorts of things is where AI is going to get really, really advantageous for shoppers. And then on the health side, you know, Amazon has One Medical that they're pushing really hard.
Yeah.
They have the chat and everything. I think AI is going to get really good at things like, I have a mole on my chest. You take a picture of it. It uses AI, mm-hmm, to examine it to see if maybe you need to come in. Using all the symptoms that you describe and sort of using AI to figure out if you're actually really sick or maybe, yeah, if it's just the flu and just those sorts of things.
Well, imagine if you're kind of walking through a Whole Foods and Amazon's ecosystem has all your data.
Yep.
It knows your health concerns. It can nudge you to make healthier choices in the store,
sure,
based upon the AI chatbot that you're providing all this information to. And it's kind of beautiful.
Sure, sure. And a lot of times people don't realize this, But pushing people to eat healthier, one, it's good for your body. But two, it's more money in the pocket of places like Amazon and Whole Foods, and healthy food's more expensive.
Yeah.
So they want you to buy lettuce and fruits and vegetables instead of cheap cereal that, you know, they don't make a whole lot of money on.
And if Amazon's able to bring this together with retail and healthcare, you got to imagine the implications across other industries, right? You have banking.
Yeah.
You have more hyper-personalization, predictive experiences, kind of setting those baseline expectations. It's not just putting information into a search prompt bar anymore. It's providing your entire personality and then getting out of it. Wow, I can make myself better and healthier. Maybe spend a little bit more money throughout the process, but the chatbot's going to know more about me.
AI is going to be very advantageous for banking and finance and saving and investing. We're already seeing people use it in the stock market using AI to sort of predict trends and stuff like that. And so, you know, we always talk about all the bad things and Terminator coming to kill us. But there's a lot of things that are going to be advantageous for us with AI if we use it correctly.
Yeah. When we come back, I got to ask you, Martin. Should we age gate social media?
Mm.
You know, that debate is coming.
Love this conversation.
Media platforms by executive order. Should President Trump just say, all right, I'm going to age gate social media? What could that age be? Would it work? What are the arguments for and against it? Age gating social media. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Martin Moore. Our technology, content, much, much more. The expertise is
bassoon player.
Fast and furious with Martin Moore, always. Bassoon player?
No, I don't know how to play the bassoon.
No.
Do you?
I do not.
Do you know what a bassoon is?
I do, yeah. It's a member of the orchestra.
Sure. Yes.
I play the cornet, the trumpet.
Okay.
So, like, I don't know. I made it in a jazz band. I was second or third chair for a while. I was pretty good, if I could do say so myself.
I like that. Maybe you can pick that up again.
I might have to do that. Well, I wanted to look into social media age gating with you. I'm kind of sick and tired about people complaining about it and saying, all right, it's detrimental to society and kids shouldn't have access. But if we're going to look at this flurry of executive orders out of President Trump's office, out of the Oval, why doesn't he just do an executive order to age gate social media?
Mm.
You end the debate, you put age 14, 16,
sure,
and you go for it. What would be the implications of doing that?
You know, this is a conversation that, you know, I've had a lot on podcasts and in the radio shows before. You know, we age gate a lot of things online, adult content obviously being one of them, online gambling. Even some social media platforms, you have to be at least 13 to use certain features, credit card verification, online purchases. And so it's not like age gating social media would be some weird new radical thing that we're experimenting with. But, you know, it all comes down to protecting kids. And unfortunately, the internet has gotten more and more nefarious and dangerous. And it's just not good for, let me put it this way. Social media isn't good for adults with developed brains.
Yeah, without some guardrails.
We use it inappropriately. It affects us. Look at all the things that we do with misinformation and just the online hate and bullying and stuff. So we don't even use it inappropriately, and it affects our mental health and the way that we interact with people and all that kind of stuff. So imagine what it's going to do to a kid, to a 10-year-old, to an 11-year-old, to a 12-year-old. And so I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of have to weigh and put on a scale on one side, what do kids get from being on the internet that's beneficial and advantageous to their well-being and learning and all that stuff and connectivity versus the massive amount of negative things that they may come across that could influence them to do things. You know, we have school shootings. That's how kids learn about that kind of stuff. Drug use, all the TikTok challenges. Remember the Tide Pod challenge? And so it's one of those things where it's like, where do you draw the line? And I've always enjoyed the conversation because there has to be a line drawn.
Yeah. I mean, establishing some kind of consistent national standards,
sure,
I think would be a good thing. Yes. You want it to kind of fall on the responsibility of the parents to say yes or no,
yeah,
for sure. But I don't have anything
well
else to I don't have anything else to say, hey, you know what? You have to be 21 to drink. you don't drink until you're 21.
What do you think is worse for a child at 15 years old? Drinking or having access to TikTok?
It all depends on the volume, I think. But yes, definitely. You could argue for either side.
I'm not even being hyperbolic.
Yeah.
I think the social media.
Yeah, no, that is true. It does create community. Is a way for kids to communicate. If you look at like Snapchat.
Sure.
But that's not pure social. They're not getting content from all these other sources. They're using it as a way. Right. If you use it as a way to communicate with your friends, maybe that is needed. There's privacy concerns. There's First Amendment issues. Sure. I understand all that. But you don't want to create this like false sense of security where, all right, my 13-year-old has access to all these social media platforms just because she can.
And here's the thing. And I don't have kids, but, you know, I have lots of nieces and nephews who I'm fully invested in their lives. And, you know, I've had this conversation with them. And as a parent, there's no way you can combat what is going to influence your child on the internet. None. You don't have a chance at the algorithm. You don't have a chance at everything that the internet throws at your kids to try and feed them things that you probably would be terrified to know that they're seeing and reading and consuming.
Yeah. If I'm the technology czar, I'm saying, all right, my executive order, I'm going to age gate social media platforms at 16. I'm going to start it there.
I'm fine with that.
You're going to have legal challenges. You're going to have industry pushback.
Sure.
You're going to have probably some global impact. Maybe it comes down to 13. I'd be all right with that. At least there is that standard.
Sure.
All right. When we come back, another standard. I'm calling him a standard. Thanasis Antetokounmpo. A standard with always bringing the big, big energy for our Milwaukee Bucks, and on his podcast, and at his live event this Saturday at Pottawatomie Casino and Hotel. Tony Cartagena, my good teammate here at Good Karma Brands, executive producer of the show, will join us. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Let's give away a gift card to the Mineshaft Restaurant in either beautiful downtown Hartford or just off of Highway 41 near the EAA in Oshkosh. Super affordable. It's a ton of fun. Really family friendly, too. Our kids love it. Your kids will love it. The grandkids will love it. Mainly, yeah, it's the food. It's the experience. It's all these wonderful creative rooms there. But it's that world-class game room that's quietly, conveniently set aside from the dining areas. Makes it perfect for mom and dad to hang out while the kids are upstairs playing whatever game of their choice. Kids under 5 eat for free Monday through Thursday from the kids menu. And every Thursday, when you buy one pizza, you get a second pizza for free. Let's take caller number. Let's do caller number 6 at 855-616-1620. It's a gift card to the historic Mineshaft. All right, Martin. Thanasis Antetokounmpo. Mm. Big event coming up on Saturday at Pottawatomie Casino and Hotel.
Yes.
Thanasis Live.
Great show.
Starring Thanasis Antetokounmpo. Special guests galore. I want to just talk, and we're waiting for Tony to join us here. I want to talk a little bit about kind of the hyper-personalization of sports celebrities and how you interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does that look like? You're a passionate Bucks fan. I know you watch
just
games.
Just signed my season ticket contract yesterday.
Season ticket holder. But how do you interact with players kind of on a one-on-one level?
I mean, I've never met one. The closest I ever came to was Pat Connaughton when I was courtside.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't really get, like, starstruck.
No. Okay.
So I would probably just, like, leave someone alone. I think I'm most interested in, sports figures, more so of, like, their journey, especially, like, someone like Giannis and Thanasis, and just appreciating and wanting to just hear their story and how they – I'm a big dreamer, obviously. You know, I got my dream job and everything, and I just really enjoy hearing those stories. So I think that would be what I would really be most attracted to, like, coming across one of them.
Yeah, and that's what I think Thanasis's podcast has really done well, is just brought together the story of the family and his rise, his challenges, his opportunities, and really just help personalize – the celebrity of all of it. And then when you take it next level and create events, that makes it even more exciting.
For sure.
I think our guest here, Tony Cartagena,
yes,
executive producer of Thanalysis Live and Thanalysis Podcast, joins us.
I just watched you guys last night.
How are
Did you,
you
watch it?
Before the Bucks game.
Nice.
Well, I think
you.
It was an older episode, I think.
Which one was it?
Oh, God. Now I can't even remember because I'm so...
We did air...
You re-aired the Dame episode, right?
What was that?
You re-aired the Dame episode.
Yeah,
recently.
I say we
no,
okay,
re-aired
then, that's,
the,
then that's what it was. That's what it was.
The Damian Lillard episode, yes, just with his recent health issues, not even injury, health issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great guest on the show. And that one's actually about a year and a half old now at this point. But
is it really?
So many of the things that we talk about in that episode still remain true today.
For sure. Yeah.
So when you look at putting together a live event for Saturday, how do you pull it together from a special guest standpoint? I know last year I was there. It was amazing. Super fun. You had some surprise celebrity guests. That's going to take a lot behind the scenes to pull together.
It's kind of wild. So it's a ton of planning involved, obviously. And last year, for those who didn't get to experience it live, we promoted that Giannis was the guest. And everyone there was expecting to see Thanasis and Giannis on stage for about an hour, talking about everything under the sun, right? And then when Thanasis and I get into a room together, it becomes quickly like, let's see what else we can pull off here. So he brought up the idea of how can we get like a good surprise guest, someone we can surprise Giannis with. We settled on Stephen A. Smith.
Yes.
Okay.
And there was like no chance that Giannis' schedule, Thanasis' schedule, and Stephen A. Smith's schedule lined up. Somehow the stars aligned and it lined up. But we were planning that for months in advance, so much to the point where like in the locker room after games, we would be talking about the live show and had to almost do it in code. Or if there were like phone calls with Stephen A. or whoever and they were at the same house, it was like, all right, we have to keep this quiet. Last year, we had it down to the minute.
Mm.
It was Giannis is going to walk on stage, if all goes as planned, at 7:05.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen A. Smith is going to be in the elevator at 7:08. He's going to go up. He's going to go right into the green room, and they will never see each other. They will never hear each other. And it will be perfect. And somehow, and this is a huge credit to our to Luis and the team over at Potawatomi,
because
they helped us plan this perfectly. And so it felt like I was in Ocean's 11.
Oh, for sure.
Like when he got on the stage and Giannis went,
you could tell
here,
you could tell Giannis had no clue.
It was
no
legitimately clue. I don't know how you surprise people like that, but somehow we pulled it off. Last year's incredible.
I mean, there's so many.
Can you plan my next birthday party?
There's so few surprises in life to begin to be able to coordinate something like that on such a high level.
Right.
And even,
amazing.
Even so, we got Stephen A to the city the day before.
God.
And it was keeping it quiet that he was even in town.
Oh, yeah.
So we like had
like a paper bag over his head.
Like a dinner planned, and he stopped at the Antetokounmpo store the day, and it was just like, let's keep
was
all
he
of this.
Was he in disguise or anything?
No, it was just making sure we were in like kind of quiet location.
Yeah.
I couldn't keep him like cooped up in his hotel room all day.
Yeah.
And then the real that we scheduled an interview at a studio that took like 3 hours. So that was really, it was private. We knew he wouldn't get out there. And then black car service, and we were good to go.
All right. When we come back from the break, we're going to get all the details about Saturday's event. Who will be the special guest? How much are tickets? What time does it begin? All the details and more. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Tony Cartagena. Martin Moore always on Thursdays. So, Tony, Saturday's Thanalysis Live event. Give us all the details in terms of what fans can expect from a guest perspective. How much are tickets? Also, I got to know, like, you have to be 21 to go to the event?
You don't. That's one of the coolest parts. It's in the event center at Potawatomi. So, we'll be at Potawatomi, but it is an all-ages event.
Nice.
Thanalysis and the family, very, very important to them that all family members can attend. So it's not 21 and up. It's not 18 and up. Kids under 5 are free.
Okay.
Tickets are available online right now, taliveshow.com. That's taliveshow.com. And the casual group of panelists we have here. Obviously, we have Thanasis, who's going to bring the energy, going to bring host the event. We have the originator of Bucks and Six, Brandon Jennings.
Ooh, nice.
He's a legend. He's a cult hero in these parts. We have Brook Lopez, the future Hall of Famer and NBA champion with the Bucks in 2021. And one guest I'm super excited for, we are going to officially welcome Kyle Kuzma to the city of Milwaukee.
Let's go.
Fun fact, Brandon Jennings was traded for Chris Middleton. Kyle Kuzma was traded for Chris Middleton.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So we're gonna connect some dots And just really celebrate Bucks basketball and celebrate the rich history of sports in the city of Milwaukee. It's going to be an awesome, awesome night.
Yeah. Last event was so, there was just so much love and passion around it. It was so community driven. Just, hey, we are proud Bucks fans. We are proud Milwaukeeans. Be in this participatory space together. And that's what it's all about, being a fan.
And as you know, for anyone who follows the family or follows the podcast, we got a trick or two up our sleeves. TALiveShow.com for tickets. Get them quick. TALiveShow.com.
Very good. We'll see you at Pottawatomie Casino and Hotel Saturday night. Thanks for your time, Tony. As always, Martin, thanks for your time. We'll see you again next Thursday. All right, coming up next, Wisconsin's Midday News. But first, some local and regional business headlines.